Hey, in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This week, the budget subcommittee chairs have been sharing the results of that work by unveiling their spreadsheets, which will be compiled and published on Friday in the House's proposed General Appropriations Act. Members, the proposed House GAA will be historic. Our budget will not only be lower than the governor's proposed budget, it will also be lower than the budget passed by the legislature last term.
Nice. Speaker of the House, Danny Perez in Tallahassee, before they got into looking at particular bills yesterday, talking about, you know, having a lower budget year over year, which special interest folks are freaking out over, but they shouldn't, because all they want to do is spend money, right? Nobody pays a lobbyist to go get less money from the government. You know, that's one of the sort of structural flaws, is there's nobody looking out for your buck. You think, well, that's the legislator's job. Yeah, I know, but, you know, lobbyists have influence, and they get them to spend more money on things. The lobbyists don't get paid to reduce spending. Wouldn't it be kind of interesting, like, could we as a county, could we hire a lobbyist not to get more money for Escambia, but to get less money for everybody? Could the Florida Association of Counties put money into a pool to lobby the state government to just cut stuff? I mean, doesn't, you know, like, that's just not the way we think about government. We always, you know, people always, well, I'm going to go to Tallahassee and get our fair share back, and we're going to get this project funding, get this project. The governor vetoed our project. Okay, but when it's a Miami project, you're like, yeah, cut that nonsense. When it's an Escambia or Santa Rosa project, you're like, oh, woe is us. Well, how about we just cut? You know, how about we doge it? You know, how about we, you know, right? Like, that's good. Cuts are good. But again, nobody gets... There's no reward for the cuts. There's no lobbyists get paid for the cuts. There's no bragging about the cuts. If you're a politician, you brag about the stuff you get. Anyway, just some thoughts as I'm listening to Danny Perez talk about actually trying to do some cuts.
We cannot spend our way out of a spending problem. We must remove the temptation to spend. And I will be asking Chairman Duggan and the Ways and Means Committee next week to produce a committee bill to permanently lower the state's sales tax by 0.75%.
0.75%. That's a pretty big cut, right?
And this will bring down the state's general sales tax from 6% to 5.25%, and this will result in a tax cut for Floridians totaling almost $5 billion per year.
Nice. A budget that is lower than last year's. Who does that? A cut in state sales tax that when you go to buy, I don't know, let's say a $1,000 item, instead of paying $60 in tax, you'd pay $52.50 in tax. That's the proposal. That, you know, I'll take it.
This will not be a temporary measure, a stunt, or a tax holiday.
Oh, thank goodness.
This will be a permanent recurring tax reduction. This will be the largest state tax cut in the history of Florida. And if...
Yeah, y'all were a little slow on the uptake to applaud for that one. He even gave you your pause. Like, that's a good thing. Nobody does this.
And members, if we are successful, we will become the only state in the history of the United States of America to permanently reduce its sales tax.
I'm cheering. This is me clapping at home.
We often talk about how to improve affordability in Florida, and our strategies usually involve spending money on more government programs. But this year, we'll try a novel concept and make Florida more affordable by giving the people of Florida their own money back to them.
Danny. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I love it. Now, there are one or two small notes, okay? One note is, yes, it's all good to cut spending, but let's cut income too, right, for the state. Like, hey, all around, good stuff. Second, we're having this conversation about whether we're going to get rid of property taxes. If we do get rid of property taxes, and I will amen, sell, I will lift you up on my shoulders and talk about what a stud you are if you manage to pull that off, because the property tax is one of the most immoral taxes, most unjustifiable, socialistic, horrible taxes. Here, government. Here's your money for me to keep my house again this year. Please, sir, may I have another? Like, it's just the most disgusting, from a philosophical point of view, tax. Income tax and property tax, horrible. What are you going to replace it with? Because obviously we're going to have to replace it with other funding streams. Probably sales tax. Probably a large sales tax. Meaning that if this were going to happen, if we're going to get rid of the property tax, the local slice of the sales tax is probably going to go from a couple of percent to like 10 or 15%. So meanwhile, the state cuts a little, but the locals are going to have to add on, which would require the state to give them permission to do that. Anyway, so get excited, but short term, maybe, I don't know, a lot to kind of, you know, wrangle out in the end game here. But yeah, give the people their own money back. Danny, I'm in. 716 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're heading on Highway 90 through Pace into Pensacola, you're going to see some about a 20-30 minute delay now due to construction that's starting on the first bridge on Highway 90. And that's causing issues that's backing up Woodbine and Chemuckla. All the way, let's see, up to Gurney Road for Woodbine and almost to Gideon Lane with Chemuckla. So that's causing major, major delays. My advice, take Quintet all the way to 29 or Avalon to I-10 to get around that. It's construction that's lasting through tomorrow, so just be aware. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
You mentioned a bridge, and you reminded me of a story that I keep forgetting to mention. You know, the tolling of the Bayway, the I-10 from Spanish Fork over to Mobile, and the new bridge and the new overpass and all the stuff, okay? And they're going to put a toll on that, so it's going to actually cost you to drive on the interstate in America. Amazing. the Mobile River Bridge, in conjunction with Alabama Department of Transportation, ALDOT, the team they had hired, that they had partnered with to build the bridge, they're no longer part of the project. So the $3.5 billion project is now without a builder. But ALDOT says, no worries, it'll still happen on time at the same price.
You okay, bro? You okay?
I don't know why they'd say it in that voice exactly, but, you know, okay. So, you know, trust us, everything's going to... Yeah, that's DOT voice. that's what the AI comes back with when I put it, you know, give me a voice for the Department of Transportation in Alabama. they say they still think they're going to start construction this year or break ground this year or whatever. Okay.
You still going to charge me a toll, though?
Yeah.
On the interstate.
That's exactly it.
I didn't know you could do that.
Nor did anybody else. And as many times as I have brought this up with our state and federal politicians, they all have the same reaction, like, are you sure they're doing that? Yes, sir, I'm sure they're doing that. Can they do that? I'll look into it. And
nothing.
Well, not nothing, Cricket. But I mean, there's no, like, apparent, they must be able to, they're doing it. And I think one day people are going to wake up and they're going to go, oh, this is a great bridge. You want me to pay what? Okay.
Exactly.
719 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to have any of the complex items inside your home worked on, like the plumbing or the air conditioning or the heating or the electrical, Peden, they do this stuff all the time. And it kind of makes sense if you would do the one, you might do more than one of those things because they're all kind of the same genre within home repairs or, you know, installations. And so they do all of that stuff all along the Gulf Coast, Tallahassee, Panama City, Pensacola, you know, Baldwin County, Mobile. You know, they'll pay the toll to get there too, I guess. You know, that's the way it's going to work. Anyway, professional folks that put in the highest quality products, you know, in a way that they stand behind 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, they always have a different special going on every month. Their special right now has to do with the basketball tournament. $1,000 off mini splits for March Madness. So $1,000 off. One of those, like, small air conditioning units that you might put in, say, you know, your viewing room, your garage. And if you want to be able to watch, it's not so hot right now, obviously, but if you want to be able to watch, say, football in the fall and not die from the heat and humidity, you could get a mini split put in your garage, and then you can, you know, this is why you would call them. Cool down your garage, your sunroom, your workshop this summer or this fall. $1,000 off mini splits right now for the month of March at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed by anxiety? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Did you ever notice the three levels in that verse? Thoughts, emotions, and behavior. The verse is saying that our thinking will impact our emotions or heart, and then our behavior when it says, "So is he." Our anxiety problems start with what we think about and then impact our emotions and then ultimately determine our behavior. I encourage you to discipline your mind to stop thinking about things that are untrue, unjust, and impure, and start thinking about things that are true and just and pure. You'll find that much of your anxiety will be gone and your emotions will be healthy, and then your behavior will be Christ-like.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Get your tickets to Pass a Good Time, New Orleans style, at the Sasebon WSRE Wine and Food Classic on Saturday, March 29th. This year's event will let the good times roll with celebrity chef John Besh and the Big Easy Sounds of Corey LaDay Zydeco on the WSRE Amos Studio stage. Enjoy Creole-inspired cuisine at the Walkabout Tasting and cast a vote for your favorite local chef. Go to WSRE.org/events for tickets and event details.
At Pinnair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinnair Credit Union. Because at Pinnair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pinnair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinnair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I can't believe any of you can walk into a church without bursting into flames.
When I lose my voice singing all your songs, I get paranoid about the way that you've been holding on. Like you're halfway gone. I'm scared.
I just know Goldberg, he's a sleazebag, you know, his magazine style. He's just a guy that I never had a lot of respect for.
What does it have to do with anything? Even if it were true, what does it have to do with anything? Again, with the ad hominem attack, aside from the point, the basic facts we now know are even worse than we thought before, because Jeff Goldberg at the Atlantic has now released the text, and if you haven't seen them, they are even worse than you imagined. I mean, there's a one part of the text where, you know, Pete Hegseth is giving the TikTok of what to expect in the attacks. And he's literally telling them, oh, hey, you know, the F-18s are going to drop bombs at this point. This is the time to expect the bombs to hit. Like, in all caps. It's just, it's insane. I cannot believe. It would be bad enough if they were doing this on an unsecured channel. It's extra bad that they had a guy they didn't know was a journalist on the line, who then they said was lying about everything, who then produced the text, and you're like, oh, dang. And they're still lying. They're still saying, no, there's nothing here. Nothing to see here. 1415, that's 215 for non-military people. Drone, strike drones on target, in parentheses, all caps. This is when the first bombs will definitely drop. Comma, pending earlier trigger-based targets. That's because there was a prior strike as well, depending on his presence in a place. So just, man. And, okay. Trump says it's a failing magazine. Again, I said, Isha, it's not a failing magazine. Do you think President Trump has ever in his life read an Atlantic article?
No.
Come on, man. There's no chance.
To get AI to summarize.
No chance, right?
Right.
Yes, it is a liberal magazine. It is a very good liberal magazine. Well, how can you say that, Andrew? Because I've read it. Because I occasionally read it. Well, in fairness, I'll quit about halfway through the articles because they are, you know, 15 pages is a starting. You know, it's like Charles Dickens getting paid for the word, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. And then Trump also said,
Exeth is doing a great job. He had nothing to do with this.
He's the one who did the text. And that's why it's so frustrating because, you know, Walton Hegseth, as military guys, know better, right? That's the, well, the attack succeeded. In spite of this,
he used an appropriate channel to communicate sensitive information. It was permissible to do so. I didn't transfer any classified information. And at the end of the day, what is most important is that the mission was a remarkable success.
It's John Ratcliffe, CIA director at Congress. And at the end of the day, what is most important is the mission was a success. But why do we have a thing called operational security in order to ensure mission success and cut down on the possibility of things going awry? The fact that, you know, you went out this time with the steering system having a fluid leak in your car and you knew about it. Well, you didn't know about it, but you find out you had a, you know, you could have prevented it by doing things better. And you didn't get into a wreck. Well, good. That is the most important thing. You didn't get into a wreck. But what if you had? And why do we fix complex systems? Why do we make sure that we have operational security? So that you don't... Oh, okay. Just tell the truth. Apologize. Move on. It's really not that big of a story until you keep making it worse. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with this issue on Highway 90. It's construction. If you're heading from Pace into Pensacola, traffic is now backed up all the way to Fowler Road. So just be aware of that. And if you're traveling on Chemuckla to get to 90, that's backed up almost to Gideon's Lane and Woodbine. It's backed up, I'd say, all the way to right there in front of Woodbine Church. So just be aware of that. No accidents to report to you. And also expect about a 25, 30-minute delay through that construction zone. Traffic is down to one lane there. So just be aware of that. And I'm starting to see really big backups. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, this is actually a really good question. Somebody texts in 437-1620 regarding the signal leak. That's this text thread thing. If the context was classified, or if the content, he probably meant, was classified and damning, then why did a journalist leak the screenshots? Great question. Because the administration says it's not classified repeatedly. And they inquired, the Atlantic inquired many, many, many times. And the most they were told was by Carolyn Leavitt late was not classified, but maybe it's not a good idea to disclose it. But he says, you guys are saying it's not classified and you keep lying about me and saying that there's nothing here. Well, here, you guys judge for yourself. Now, I will say this. There are two possibilities. Possibility number one is Jeff Goldberg was on the text thread, thought it was fake, didn't think it was real until the bombs actually dropped, the news came out, and he's like, oh, what did I just see? And got off, properly so. And then wrote the story, and then they said he was a lying scumbag, sleazebag, terrible journalist, lied about him. So then he produces the text after going through the proper process of asking, whatever. Possibility number two. The first stuff's all the same. And then he says, I know how I can really get them to step in it. I won't publish the text. And I can say, because you shouldn't, because maybe they're secure information classified. And we'll wait for them to attack me. And when they attack me and deny it all, then I'll come forward with the text. Now, I don't know whether he went fishing and caught a whale or whether he just was doing the right thing all along. But either way, the administration has not handled this properly. Let's see. David Wayne is out today for the next couple of days. We got Steve with our headlines. Steve?
A federal appeals court is upholding a court order blocking certain deportations. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deporting immigrants they claimed were connected to a Venezuelan gang. In a 2-1 decision yesterday, a federal appeals court chose not to lift the court order. Adults around the world are leaving their childhood religions. The Pew Research Center conducted a survey of 80,000 people in 36 countries and found found that Buddhism and Christianity are experiencing the most losses from religion switching. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. Somebody asked me about the bridge toll on I-10. Interstate 95 in the Northeast has many tolls, many states. My question would be, but do they also have free alternatives? That's the issue. It's okay to create a new bridge and fund it with tolling in order to avoid congestion. You can't just demolish the old bridge, build a new one, and then say, hey, hey, tough for you.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Major bust this morning in Prince William County, Virginia. The FBI and DOJ capture a top MS-13 gang leader, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi.
Thanks to the FBI, we got one of the worst of MS-13 off the streets this morning. Virginia and the country is a lot safer today.
For now, his name's being withheld. Fox News joined AG Bondi and FBI Director Cash Patel for the operation in Woodbridge, Virginia. President Trump posting on Truth Social, just captured a major leader of MS-13. Tom Homan is a superstar. 25% tariffs will hit a week from today from President Trump on finished cars and trucks that are shipped into the U.S. and to imported parts that are assembled into cars into American auto plants.
We're going to take back just some of the money that has been taken from us.
The president labeling it Liberation Day and America First. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31, 64 degrees in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. In a heated Senate committee hearing yesterday, the first confirmations for the new trustees at the University of West Florida took center stage. While five nominees appointed by Governor Ron DeSantis were discussed, only three secured approval, sparking concerns from locals about the qualifications and the regional connections of the appointees, particularly controversial figure Adam Kissel. The next step will be seeing the Ethics and Elections Committee reviewing the nominees before they can go to a final vote. The state could be getting rid of community redevelopment agencies. There's a bill moving through the legislature that, if passed, would terminate CRAs by 2045. Pensacola's mayor and Escambia County commissioners gave their opinions on the legislation this week. Commissioner Mike Kohler.
I'll put on the record, I'm adamantly opposed to getting rid of CRAs. I think it hurts the poorest communities in our state, so hopefully that fails.
CRAs are designed to address blight and redevelopment in communities. However, proponents of the bill point to some agencies misappropriating the CRA funds, using them for festivals or giving city council members raises. Pensacola and Escambia County officials support CRAs, saying they help foster economic development and growth in the community. However, now they question how to prepare if the bill does pass.
And CRAs certainly are going to have some challenging days in the days to come, and so hopefully we begin to have that conversation of how we brace ourselves or prepare ourselves in case the funding formulas change.
That's Commissioner Lewin May. Mayor D.C. Reeves added.
Understand it's starting to move through committees. We certainly are stating our case. We've asked our advocates in Tallahassee to be continuing to voice our support for CRAs.
The bill does allow CRAs to complete any already existing project. The Florida Senate Committee is behind a bill to keep AI from deciding the fates of insurance claims. News Radio's Austin Price has more.
The bill prohibits insurers from using artificial intelligence as the sole basis for denying claims, requiring decisions to be made by a qualified human professional. The proposal is called Senate Bill 794, and it aims to balance innovation and consumer protection, ensuring that the aforementioned individual reviews claims and verifies AI-generated outputs before any denial. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Destin High School announced yesterday it will adopt a four-day school week for the 2025-26 school year, moving away from the traditional five-day schedule. That decision, made after careful planning and feedback, aims to enhance academic excellence and support student and staff well-being. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
More warm and dry weather on tap for your Thursday. Things start out in the lower 60s first thing, but as we go into the afternoon, temperatures climb right back into those middle and upper 70s with a mix of sun and clouds going into tonight. Mostly cloudy, and Friday things look dry to end out the week, but we do notice increasing clouds once again there, making way for a weekend weather maker that'll bring our next best chance for some showers and storms. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
Now let's check out with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators, commercial backup systems. With the most trusted brands, expert installation, and 24/7 support, that's GeneratorSource.com. Let's see here. We've got no accidents to report to you, but I have some bad news if you're on Highway 90 heading from Pace into Pensacola. We've got some major backups due to construction. Traffic is down to one lane before you even get to the first bridge, and it's backed up way past Shamokla Highway. So just be aware of that. Alternate route, Quintet to Highway 29 or Avalon to I-10 to get to Pensacola. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, 64 degrees in Pensacola, 63 in Gulf Breeze, and 58 degrees in Milton at 735. Next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Jimmy Petronas is a Republican Florida congressional candidate and the Florida's chief financial officer, and he joins me now. Donald Trump has endorsed you. He says Jimmy Petronas has done a tremendous job as CFO. Petronas has my complete and total endorsement. Run, Jimmy, run, he said.
That's my plan. Look, I'm born and raised in the Panhandle. I love this part of the state. But we've got an open border policy that's got to be closed. We will close that. We have got to restore our confidence in our military and give them the support that they deserve. We will do that with the Trump administration.
He said, run, Jimmy, run. And you said, yes, sir. We'll see how it all plays out.
It's been a wild ride these past few weeks. I've met so many great people, and with your support, I'll be the voice in Washington fighting for you, putting America first every single day. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Petronas, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on April 1st. Paid for by friends of Jimmy Petronas, Inc.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 738, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and on the line we've got Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's start with this, kind of a cool good news note. You had another member of the Pensacola Police Department go through the FBI Academy. The Escambia County Sheriff, they put people through there. You guys put people through there. This one's only a little bit different from some of the ones in the past. Tell why.
Well, because it's the first female that's ever graduated from the FBI National Academy at the Pensacola Police Department. Lieutenant Amy Parsons did that on March 26th. She was in a class that was 10 weeks long. It consisted of 244 men and women from 48 states and the District of Columbia. It also had members of law enforcement agencies from 24 countries and 11 military organizations and also four federal civilian organizations. So, that's a pretty big deal to just to get selected, let alone go through it and come out on the other side.
No, I totally agree. It's a great thing. I mean, and, there's been a handful of people go through it at PPD, like, over the years. And, you know, I know former PPD folks like Chip Simmons and Tommy Leiter have been there and, you know, Andy Hobbs at the, you know, sheriff's office. So it's a great thing. For people who might not be familiar, what is the value to PPD? Like, what does it do for the agency to make them stronger?
Well, these are going to be people that are in leadership to start with, lieutenants and above. So they already are showing leadership traits, and they must have proven records as professionals within their agencies to attend, which she certainly has. So, you know, they're going to be learning things such as going through academic training, physical fitness, and networking, and all of those are major assets to be a future leader. She's already a lieutenant, but this is just going to help propel her further in her future.
Very cool. No, we always always good to see. And by the way, just, you know, it makes me think about something that I don't think you and I have talked about in a long time, but historically, the effort to have as much of the population represented on the police force is always, you know, has been a goal. And that means both, you know, black officers, but also female officers. What is the current population of the Pensacola Police Department? You've got, what, 150 or so officers? Am I in the ballpark for this? And how many of them are women right now?
Yeah, give or take around 150, and I don't have an exact count on females. We have several,
yeah,
a lot. And I've said this many times before. I was trained as a brand-new rookie by a female field training officer, and Andrew, I would rather have her backing me up than a lot of the male officers. The females are a huge asset, especially when it comes to a suspect that is out of control. This particular female I have in mind looked at this man that we were having to fight, and so why don't you grow up and act like a man and get in the backseat of that cruiser? And he did it. And the rest of us were looking at her like, how did you do that? So, you know, it's the sex of the officer doesn't matter, never has. It's just, can that officer do the job? And we've got lots of females at the Pensacola Police Department that are very, very capable of doing that.
Well, and I don't want to sound like I'm disagreeing with you, but your story actually illustrates that sometimes it does matter that women might have different skills that men don't have, just like men might have different skills that women don't have, and that, you know, sometimes the thing that, you know, sets you apart is the thing that makes you more effective in a scenario. And, you know, that certainly that's an understandable thing. So, I like that. You also had a DUI where I guess the guy winds up running into a police cruiser. Is that right?
Yeah, the officer had the blue lights on, was doing something completely unrelated when it was struck in the rear by an impaired driver. And, you know, that's happened before. Officer Mary Williams Green was struck in the rear on the 3 Mile Bridge. And if you just look it up, Google it, look at YouTube videos, it happens all over the country. It's almost like the blue lights sometimes help us and hinder us at the same time, but only with impaired drivers. It's almost like a moth to a bright light when they're impaired. They just hit the cruiser in the rear end.
Are you telling me that we need better unmarked cars and unlit cars?
Well, I mean, either that or we're going to need to put tires across the back of these cruisers like a tugboat, you know, when you got impaired drivers. But it's happened more than we would like to see, so that's for sure.
No, and it's, you know, I always, the school district always has this same comment. Like, you know, we paint them bright yellow so you can see and avoid them. But, you know, it's kind of like the old driving advice is, you know, don't aim to avoid the bad thing. Aim for your exit, right? You know, don't try to avoid the pole because you want to drive into the pole. Aim for the gap, right? Same kind of thing is, you know, aiming to miss a cruiser may not work, especially if you're impaired, unfortunately. So, but the law enforcement officer was okay. No problems there?
Minor injuries, yes, he's fine.
Okay, well, minor's not great, but, you know, I'll take that over something much, much worse. I got a question from somebody the other day that I thought was kind of an interesting one. I wanted to run by you. The question was, you know, we know porch pirates, it's a problem. We know people stealing stuff in general is a problem. But what are you allowed to do? You know, you and I and Chip and Bob Johnson, we talk about gun all the time, okay? I feel like I'm very comfortable when I can and when I cannot use my gun. But the question of lower than gun type incidents, like, let's say you actually confront somebody on your property stealing one of your, you know, parcels. What are you allowed to do? Now, you obviously can't shoot them. You can't even draw your gun unless you feel like you're threatened. But can you put hands on them? Can you fight them, wrestle them, detain them? In general, can you put hands on somebody when it's, you know, important to stop them from doing something that doesn't involve like a lethal threat? Like, what are the rules for that? I don't know, and I'm asking you.
Can you? Yes. Should you? No. You know, the best thing, what we would like to see a person do is be a good witness, get a good description of them, the vehicle they might be in, and call 911. But you can. You can stop them. You can use physical force, but the force must be reasonable to hold them until law enforcement gets there. That's the thing. And some people call that a citizen's arrest. You know, and depending on what's in that package, it's going to depend on what, you know, decides whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony. So, you know, we're never going to say take the law in your own hands and put yourself at risk. If you remember a couple of years ago, there was an individual at a Circle K on Garden Street that had his pickup truck stolen. He saw it backing out of the parking space. He ran and jumped in the back of his own truck while the person that stole it was speeding away. The person that stole it found a gun in the cab and started shooting at the truck owner with his own gun. Now, he decided quickly that this probably wasn't the best idea and was able to jump out of the back of that truck before he got hurt or killed. So you have to make these decisions on your own in a split second on whether you want to confront this person or not.
I remember that case. What a crazy case. But so there is a level of physical force that a citizen is allowed to use to detain somebody in the commission of a crime, particularly on my property. Is it wise to do so? That's a secondary question. But in terms of legal justification, you know, hey, man, stay there. Oh, no, you don't. You know, I can do some things.
Any use of force during that incident must be proportionate to the circumstances and intended solely to prevent harm or escape.
Got it.
You can't take a baseball bat, start beating a person for taking a box from Amazon that's got plastic cups in it. You just, you know, you have to be able to, in order to use force like that or a gun, you have to fear for the safety of yourself or those inside your home.
Okay. And I mean, but they're really nice cups, by the way. But and I take that part, and I'm glad you included the or fleeing part because you can detain them. You can't use excessive force. You know, it is so unsatisfying as imagining myself in this scenario and you say, well, let them go and just get the license plate. That is so unsatisfying. But I understand the wisdom of the advice, you know?
And we have to say that because it depends on the physical condition and not the training, but can this person do this safely to keep from getting hurt? You know, a police officer, somebody was taking something off my front porch, you know, we're going to take care of business. But and all officers are going to think that way because they do that every day. But somebody that's never confronted a criminal before has got to think this through. And it's a tough decision to make in a split second.
Yeah, and I mean, every physical altercation involves risk that you don't think about. And I mean, just from itself, but also they can escalate, which is, you know, always a concern. All right, perfect. Thank you. Somebody had asked that question. They've already texted me. Thank you for asking. We're talking to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for Pensacola Police Department. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. Still rolling with no accidents right now. But if you are traveling on Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola, we've got construction going on and traffic is down to one lane. Looks like traffic is backed up all the way to Spencer Field. My advice, take Quintet to Highway 29. And a lot of people heeded the advice of going Avalon to I-10. And it looks like Avalon is really backed up all the way past the Moores Golf Club, golf course there. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Every single time, right? The remedy becomes the next problem every single time. That's how traffic works. All right, John, thanks so much for the update. Keeping people informed. Back to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, can you give me a confirm amen that the solution becomes the next problem, the cascading problem of either traffic or other kinds of crowd control, all that kind of stuff? Is that right?
That is a confirmed amen, sir.
Unfortunately, yeah. I wish it weren't, but it is. Hey, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and the question was, does the chief of police make arrests? Can or will he? And the answer to that
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say it has to be yes. Is it yes?
Yeah. Obviously, he and Deputy Chief Chrisman are sworn police officers. But, you know, those guys are mostly tied up with leadership duties, budget management, personnel oversight, community relations, policy development, crisis management, technological advancement, and a whole, I could go, a whole list of things that they do.
Talking to the media, eating donuts. I get you, right? Okay.
I didn't say that part. You did. They're busy guys, but they absolutely, you can see both Chief Randall and Deputy Chief Chrisman on the street making traffic stops, getting out with people, answering calls. That happens all the time. You see, Sheriff Simmons is one of the first to go through a building when there's an active shooter. So these administrators are absolutely law enforcement officers, but they do they are boots on the ground. They came from patrol, and once a cop, always a cop. It's just that they're tied up with other things all day that they're not able to do that as much as the rest of us.
In a weird way, like just as a philosopher, this is the angle I bring to things sometimes, is it makes sense because if the authority to make an arrest comes from the deputization or the oath swearing, you know, the superior officer is granting you that authority, it must be that that superior officer has that authority to begin with. So, you know, it kind of makes sense that they would at least be able to do it, even though they wouldn't often have the necessity to do it. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you. Thank you for the time. Thanks for the keeping us safe. And thanks for indulging my weird sense of humor. I always appreciate that, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
I've got one, too. Don't worry about it.
Thanks, buddy. 751 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, if you haven't had a chance to try it yet, we've got a new restaurant in town that was opened by a city councilman, Casey Jones, right over there, Kitty Corner, speaking of the police, Kitty Corner to the police station, and right across from the community garden on Haines Street, and, you know, the skate park is all there. Reservoir just opened, 2 weeks ago, I think, something like that. Like I said, this project with Casey Jones and his wife, and, you know, I haven't had a chance to eat there yet, but it looks fantastic based on the pictures I have seen on Instagram, and, you know, I love the project they're doing, trying to rescue that grocery store and, you know, bring back a historic thing and make it a new thing. So, anyway, if you have a chance, go by, say hi to him. Tell him Andrew McKay says hi.
The Bayou Hills Run, the official 5K and 10K City of Pensacola Championships, is back on March 29th at beautiful Bayview Park. It's called the Bayou Hills Run for a reason. These hills are no joke, but push through and you'll be rewarded with an epic post-race party the whole family will love. Sign up now at BayouHillsRun.org. The course takes you along scenic Bayou Tahar, winding through East Hill's stunning tree-lined streets before finishing back at the park. Every finisher in the 5K, 10K, and kids run gets a medal. And once you cross that finish line, celebrate with great food, drinks, music, and plenty of fun for the whole family, including a playground for the kids. Race day is March 29th, so don't wait. Register now at BayouHillsRun.org and bring the whole crew. The Bayou Hills Run, the official City of Pensacola Championship, a Pensacola sports event.
Cops, Cars, and Crawfish is back on Saturday, April 12th. It's a car show and a crawfish boil to benefit the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation. The gates at Five Flags Speedway open to the public at 10 a.m., and you can bring your family out to wander around and see some incredible cars. There's trophies, door prizes, a 50-50 raffle, a free movie on the big screen, the People's Choice Awards, and of course, crawfish. The Cat Crew's going to be there. We'll be bringing the fun and games. We'll look forward to seeing you at Cops, Cars, and Crawfish 2025.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Balin Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the Brew Through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the Brew Through to the Early Learning Sensory Garden. Thank you.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you. Come again.
This is the beginning of Liberation Day in America. You can buy electric, or you can buy gasoline, or you can buy hybrid, or you can buy whatever you want to buy. And that's the way it should be. The market's going to determine that. And you're going to see prices going down, but it's going to go down specifically because they're going to buy what we're doing, incentivizing companies to, and even countries, but companies to come into America and build.
Countries, companies, pool, pond, would be good for you. You know, whatever. No, this is very interesting because, no, prices are not going to come down on cars, at least not yet. Okay, remember that this whole notion that like tariffs are a tax cut or a price reduction. No, they're not. Things will cost more. The expectation is thousands of dollars more for your imported cars, basically. And then the question is, well, what will that do to the domestic price, like of cars, either the used cars or the cars that are made domestically? And the answer is, well, there's so much demand for cars, and if you have lower supply or higher price for some of that supply, then you're going to have shifting demand and everything's going to go up a little bit, right? That's how that supply and demand works. But the goal long term is to get things to be more made in America so that we have the jobs and the money stays here and that we learn to compete again and we are not so much dependent on trade, which God, there's a whole long discussion you can have about when free trade does, when free trade doesn't actually benefit. Generally speaking, really genuinely free trade benefits everybody better than having import tariffs, trade wars, anything, any of that sort. But there's a lot of caveats built into that, economic analysis. I generally favor this. And the theory the administration has on this is that, that it's reciprocal. Like, they're already tariffing us, so we're just tariffing in return. But the theory that the administration has is we have capacity already in the U.S. And if domestic makers will ramp up capacity, then we can make up for whatever we might be losing through imports. That was a sneeze of epic proportions. Wow. I even lost my headphones on that one. I can actually confirm that there's some truth in that. I'll tell you about that in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. If you're traveling...
You saw it, right?
I did. I was like, do I have to do CPR at this point? Makes for good ratings. Anyway... Let's see here. If you are traveling on Highway 90...
Are you saying that unconscious me is better than conscious me for ratings?
It depends.
Go on.
I've got video. Okay. Anyway, Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola, you're going to notice your traffic is backed up all the way to Spencerfield Road. And speaking of Spencerfield Road and Gideon's Road, we've got an accident that happened there that's causing some road blockage. So just be aware of that. You say, well, John, I'll take Avalon to I-10. You're going to be met with some delays, too, because it's backed up all the way to Sterling Way right at that light. So just be aware of that. And that's going to take, either direction you go is going to be an extra 30, 45 minutes in your commute this morning. You can take Quintet all the way to Highway 29. That's up to you, but that's another alternative. It's still going to take 25, 30 extra minutes for you to do that. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
We live in a community with water.
Everywhere.
This is the problem. Right? No. Crossing the water, there's only so many places you can do it. All right. I can confirm from experience that the tariffs and the possibility of enhancing production here in the U.S. as a result, I happen to have a family member who works in the car industry and oversees a plant, where they make things. I don't want to get into specifics, but he's like, oh, yeah, we've been ramping up already in adding people in shifts because we expect this to happen, which they knew this was coming, right? That was the theory. Will that be enough? How much will that offset? Well, the details will shake out over time, and we don't know yet. But there certainly is surplus capacity in the manufacturing industry in order to accommodate some of this. But, how much will it do? Well, we'll see. Oh, by the way, also, total side note. I yesterday saw a billboard on 9 Mile. A friend had tipped me on this. The one that's right there by the church, Highland Church. The digital billboard, it's like once every 5 minutes, but it's Canada has bought ads saying tariffs are a tax on your grocery bill. Paid for by Canada. Like, Canada is doing this. The government of Canada is doing an ad blitz in the United States to propagandize, educate, persuade us that tariffs are bad for us. Interesting approach that I hadn't been expecting to see driving down 9 Mile. But there it is.